Blog Talk Radio.
And I got the HD blues, and my life feels kind of rough. Baby, I won't ever, ever give up. You might see me moving.
Hello, everyone, and thank you for tuning in to Help for HD Live. This podcast is made possible by Teva Pharmaceuticals and the Griffin Foundation. I'm your host, Lauren Holder, and today our guest is Dr. Chaney Drew. Dr. Drew is a research fellow and senior trials manager working in the Center for Trials Research at Cardiff University. She has a PhD in neurobiology underpinning Huntington's disease and now works as a clinical trials researcher, primarily focusing on trials concerning neurodegenerative diseases, particularly HD. This includes trials of physical activity in HD and other complex interventions that may be used to modulate disease progression. Dr. Drew, thank you so much for joining me today.
Thank you for the invite.
Absolutely. So we're going to just jump into the questions here. And could you just tell us a little bit about yourself and how you got involved in research?
Sure. So going back some years now, I did an undergraduate degree in pharmacology. And as part of that, in my final year, I did a small research project, sort of a library-based project, looking at Huntington's disease. And that really sparked an interest. I thought it was an extremely interesting a neurodegenerative disease. You know, it's just one gene, and by that time we knew which gene caused the disease. But there was absolutely no treatment available. And it was a disease that really has devastating consequences for people who have that faulty gene. So that made me want to go on when I was doing my PhD studies and look for a project that involved Huntington's disease. And I was fortunate enough to find an HD lab at Cambridge University. And so I went and did a PhD in the lab in the field of Huntington's to sort of really get a good grounding in the disease. And then for one reason or another, I moved away from working directly in Huntington's for a little while, down to geography and various life choices. But then I came to work at the Centre for Trials Research about 4 years ago now, 4 or 5 years ago. And there was already clinical research in HD going on here. And we're very closely linked with the Cardiff HD Clinic, who look after sort of all the HD patients in South Wales. And I was sort of afforded the opportunity to go back and work on Huntington's disease again, and I have continued to do so while I've been here. So it's a pleasure to be back working in this field. It's something that I really enjoy. It's very interesting. I think there's still a lot of work that needs to be done to help people with HD.
Oh, absolutely. And we certainly appreciate the research that you're doing for us in the Huntington's community. And today, specifically, we're talking about your research, physical activity and exercise outcomes in Huntington's disease, also known as PACE-HD.
Yes.
Can you tell us what prompted this research?
Sure. So this is a trial that we're running here. It's run by Professor Monica Busser, who's based here in Cardiff, and Professor Laurie Quinn, who works in Teachers College in Columbia University in New York. And they have, over the last 10 years or so, both of them are physical therapists, And over the last 10 years or so, they've been looking at the role of physical activity in Huntington's disease. And over the last 6 to 8 years, we've been running a number of studies of physical activity in HD to see if there is any benefit. And these have been quite small studies, looking at very short-term physical activity, what we call it, an intervention, so a program of physical activity in people with HD. And the results from those studies have shown that there probably is some benefit for people with HD to being involved in a physical activity program. But as I said, the studies are quite small, and the data that we have from that is not very conclusive, so we can't make any firm suggestions for people with HD about what it exactly is that they need to do. So with PACE HD, what we have done is built on our last clinical trial, which was called Engage HD, and we've lengthened the time of the physical activity intervention. So beforehand in Engage HD, it was about 12 to 16 weeks in length that we were asking people to engage with physical therapy. And now what we're doing is asking people to engage with a physical therapy program for 12 months. And it's really seeing if long-term physical activity is something that people with HD can build into their lives simply, and whether that has any benefits for them in terms of disease progression. So there's evidence in animal models to show that physical activity, so by making mice run on wheels, that you can help improve their cognition and their motor function. And we would hope that that would translate to the clinical setting as well. But it's very difficult to know how the evidence from animals, where we make mice run in a cage on a wheel, what components of that are important for promoting change, physical change in, through physical activity in people with HD. And so that's really sort of the underpinning of the research.
That's extremely interesting. Especially I participated in it was a small study with exercise. I went down to mm-hmm. Dallas, Texas and actually participated and ran on the bike, and they measured intake of air and output and everything. So is there any equipment that will be required with this? Like, will you have to wear a band or anything like that?
That's a really good question. So we have specific sites where this is happening, and we equip them with the things that they need to do the test, the assessments, which is where we get our data from. So we make sure that those sites have the right equipment in order to do the test. But for the HD participants, we have a specific budget for each participant who's randomised to the physical activity intervention. So what I should say is what we're doing is taking a group of people, and then they either get allocated to just their activity as normal, so they just carry on with their everyday life as they normally do, and the other half get randomised to this physical activity intervention, which they have an assigned physical therapist to help them with. So we have a budget for each participant to either buy some equipment for them to be able to exercise at home. If they needed to buy an exercise bike, there's money for that. Or they could prefer to use that money to buy a gym membership. So we support their participation in physical activity in that way. And we do ask them to wear a Fitbit. So it's like a watch that monitors your activity. And that's not so much for the participants to get something out of. But really that's for us to be able to collect data to see how much exercise people are doing over the 12 months without having to rely on them filling in diaries and questionnaires. So that's why we're asking people to wear the Fitbit.
Okay. And what are the requirements for people to participate in this study?
So like with all clinical trials, we have specific inclusion and exclusion criteria. So we specify that everyone needs to be over 18 and they need to be able to consent to take part in the study. They need to have a genetically confirmed diagnosis of HD. And we also stipulate that they must be a participant in Enroll HD already. The reason for that is the way that we've designed this study. It's what we call a nested randomized controlled trial. So we're wanting to get 120 people into the study, and 60 of those people, so half of the total, will stay in an observational study. So they will never be asked to do anything beyond what they already do. And then the other half will be randomized. So 50% of that other half, so we'll have 30 people randomized to activity as usual and 30 people randomized to control. And what we want to do is compare the data we collect at the beginning and the end of the studies to in conjunction with the data that is collected from them from Enroll to see if we can use that Enroll data in future studies as a data collection tool, so we don't have to ask participants to do as much in terms of data collection as we have done previously. So it's about reducing the burden on people with HD and taking part in clinical trials. So we've been working very closely with the Enroll HD group, and they've been extremely supportive of this study. And we have gone through their data request process to get that data for the participants that are also involved in our study. And they've been very helpful by going into all of our sites as well and checking that all of the data is collected as it should be and that the people have been consented into the trial properly and do all those sort of regulatory things that we wouldn't be able to do from such a distance. So in order to come into the study, because that's a really important part of what we're looking at, people have to be on Enroll HD. And the only other thing that we stipulate is that people need a total functional capacity score between 7 and 13. But otherwise, it's a fairly broad range of people with HD that we're looking for.
And obviously, you know, you said that you expect them to be in Enroll, but not every Enroll site will be doing PACE HD, correct?
No, that's correct. So, again, we're slightly limited by budgetary constraints. So we've selected 6 sites across Europe and the US. So we don't actually have any sites in the UK, which makes it slightly different for us. But we have 2 sites in Germany, 2 sites in Spain, and 2 sites in the USA. All of whom are Enroll sites. At the beginning of the study, we went through Enroll and the Enroll team and asked them to help us approach sites that may be interested in taking part. And we have to go through a process of looking at individual sites to see if they would be able to support a trial such as PACE HD. And Enroll actually have been very helpful in supporting us with that. Because obviously there are certain things that the site need to have or a certain number of people. So sites where they already have physical therapy because we need the therapist to be able to deliver the intervention. And we also need sites that are big enough and to be able to recruit the numbers of people that we need for the trial.
Let me go a little away from this for just a second. Are you doing any other,
sure.
Are you personally doing any other research for Huntington's right now?
Yes, certainly in the here in the Centre for Child Research, I'm involved with another two HD research projects. One is run again by Prof. Monica Busser, and that's called Domino HD. So that's not a trial, but it is a European consortium project. So we have partners in Spain, Germany, Ireland, Poland, I must not forget any now, and Switzerland. And that's about looking at a combination of lifestyle factors. So we're looking at physical activity, sleep, nutrition, and also involving the genetics of people with HD. And what we're trying to look at is ways of building a digital platform and of measuring all of those aspects about people's lifestyle to develop a new intervention, a lifestyle intervention, to promote not necessarily healthy living, but help people with HD to live as well as they can, with a view to that having an impact on disease progression, or potentially, because one of the other sort of concepts around Domino HD is that although by having a healthier lifestyle, so making sure that you sleep well, engaging in physical activity, making sure that you eat well, not just having an impact on disease progression, but that may be really important in helping other treatments that may become available in being as effective as they may be. So when I'm talking about other treatments, I'm talking about the things like the antisense oligonucleotide therapies that are being trialled by Roche at the moment. So that's one study, and the other study is a trial. It's called Trident, and that's a very early phase trial looking at fetal cell transplants in people with HD. So that's a much more invasive research study where we're asking people to undergo neurosurgery and have a transplant of cells into their striatum, which is the area where cells are lost in the brain in HD, and have those cells replaced in the hope that we can rebuild those really crucial networks of cells to improve brain function, which is another line of research that we're quite heavily involved in Cardiff in general. And that's also a fascinating study. There's lots of regulatory issues to work around, and lots of ethical issues as well. But it's a very interesting study. So that's the other one that I'm involved in at the moment. Yeah.
Yeah, that sounds very interesting.
We
might actually have you talk about that another time.
Yeah, sure. I'd be happy to.
Before I let you go, do you have any final comments for the Huntington's community?
Just to say that I think we're, with all of the new trials that are going on, so the trials like Trident and the Roche trials, I think we're entering a really exciting time in terms of HD research. You know, up until now, there's been a lot of hope with the drug trials that have come through, but nothing's really made a big difference in terms of therapy for people with HD. And it really seems now that we're on the cusp of a very exciting time where we can really find realistic treatments that are really going to help people with HD. And it's very exciting to be involved in that sort of era of research. And just to say thank you to all of the people with HD who take part in all of these studies, because as researchers we ask you to do a lot, and we realise that it's you're taking quite a leap of faith sometimes, especially with the very early stage trials that we run. And we're forever grateful that you give up your time to take part in those studies.
Yes, and you know, as somebody who's tested positive for Huntington's and is also a caregiver for my father, you know, I've got to say I'm just so excited about all the research that's going on, and we certainly appreciate our researchers working so hard for us.
Yeah, it is an exciting time, and you know, I think everyone's very hopeful that in the next 10 to 15 years we'll really find a treatment that can help people with HD.
Well, Dr. Drew, thank you so much for coming on the show and talking with me today. I truly appreciate you taking the time.
Thank you, Lauren. It's been a pleasure.
You take care.
Same to you. Okay, thank you. Bye.
Bye.